but I really don't care, and I don't think you do, the things that we have put together. And tonight, I hope we finish. I'm afraid we're probably going to get right at a dramatic point and have to stop, and even then it'll probably be 7:10. But we're going to study Jerusalem at the time of Jesus Christ. When Passmore and I visited Richmond, Virginia, and you walk around and you see the bullet holes and cannonballs still in some of the buildings, and you walk around and you get a feel for what happened during the taking of Richmond and Petersburg and things like that. And that's what we're going to do tonight as far as the city of Jerusalem is concerned. We now know why it is built the way it is at the time of our Lord. Herod the Great, one of the greatest builders of all time as far as Jerusalem is concerned, has made it quite a city. And that is going to be the city, the temple, the palaces, all the things that are in Jerusalem are going to be the things that Jesus Christ are going to find when He returns. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of Jerusalem at the time of our Savior. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to study these events of history, to acquaint ourselves with this ancient and great city of Jerusalem, and to follow, Heavenly Father, all of the things that involve this city that center around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege for this study tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last week, we finished up with Jerusalem under Pontius Pilate. Now, you know why he came into play. He is the fifth procurator appointed by Caesar, Emperor Augustus, and of Rome. Augustus has made this his own area. It is not really a province as such. It is now a private area of Emperor Augustus. He has appointed Pontius Pilate. Pilate is neither Roman nor Jewish. He is a Samnite. We studied all about Pontius Pilate, and we studied various things that deal with his rule. He was a very vicious man, a man who would kill at the drop of a, well, I started to say hat, but I guess they didn't have too many hats. But we took up a profile of the man and how he would just kill. He was responsible for the mass murder command or edict that would kill the infant boys of the Jewish race in order to prevent the coming of a promised Messiah. Now, having covered all of that, ending up last week with the profile, before we come to Pontius Pilate and the Lord, what I want to do is to take up the movements of our Lord leading up to the crucifixion. This is what we might call a traveling profile of the Lord Jesus Christ leading up to his entrance into Jerusalem to build up the momentum and all of the things that happened. So what we're going to do right now is just take the life of Christ geographically. Not going to study it theologically or anything like that, but just put it together the best we can. By way of introduction, you can even put this in your notes as a parenthetical remark of introduction. The actual sequence of events of Jesus Christ are disputed. You'll read different men, will have different scholars, will put different things in different order. Some things we do not really know when exactly they occurred. We can say apparently here, apparently there. There's a couple of trips into Jerusalem by John that, you know, nobody else even talks about. So I'm going to try to handle those. It would be very nice if I could say this is his first entrance into Jerusalem, this is his second entrance into Jerusalem, this is his third entrance into Jerusalem, and be able to support it. I can't do that except for a few of them. Or there, let's put it this way, there are a few that I can't, and no one else really can. We know that they occurred, and we can kind of predict when they occurred. But I just want you to know what I'm getting ready to give you is a broad idea of the travelings of our Lord. And, of course, in a normal Bible class, we're interested in the theology, the event, and the historical significance. But right now what I want to try to do is put together for you the traveling of the Lord geographically so that you can have that. All right, point one is really rather simple. Yes, everyone should have a large map. Anybody who doesn't have the large map? Everybody should have the large map. And what I'm going to do is try to Xerox this out of one of the old atlases I had. And you may not be able to read too much, but I think when we draw attention to certain things, you'll be able to understand this map. I'll tell you what. First of all, I hope you have a pen or something that will draw. I just circle mine large and so, because, you know, you're not going to go home and frame this thing, and you're not going to hurt it at all if you'll just draw a circle around the areas. Before we even get started, so we don't have to break the momentum by trying to find it. First of all, let's circle Jerusalem. If you look down at your bottom of your map, you'll see the Dead Sea. Go to the north part of the Dead Sea and come over toward your left, going from your right to your left toward the Mediterranean, and you'll run across Jerusalem. And so if here is the upper crest of the Dead Sea, coming down like this, just come across, here's a coast, and right there you will find Jerusalem. So circle Jerusalem. Now, going up north, and this is where we're really going to spend a lot of our time, you go up north, you'll see the, here is the Dead Sea, or excuse me, the Sea of Galilee. There's the Sea of Galilee. Now, I want you to, let's just go ahead and get this part out so you can circle it, and then come right to it. First thing I want you to find, look at the southern point of the Sea of Galilee. Go back over toward the Mediterranean from right to left, almost straight up from Jerusalem, and you will see the city Nazareth. You'll see the city Nazareth. It's right below Sepphoris. Now, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but you're not going to enjoy the class if you haven't. Have you identified Nazareth? Nazareth. Anybody has not found Nazareth? Okay. You found Nazareth. Let's see. Come just below Nazareth. Come down to about, if we were looking at a clock, come down to around 5 o'clock, and you will see 9. N-A-I-N. Circle that. If you look just above to the right of that, you'll see Mount Tabor. Circle that. And don't be embarrassed. If you haven't found these, let me know, because it's more important that you find them. Some people have very great trouble reading a map. One of the funniest incidences I had in the military was we ran into a company commander who was commanding a company of tanks. And this is a first lieutenant, and he was a company commander of tanks, and that poor guy felt sorry for him. He had tanks. We were up in the chopper, the general was, looking for the tanks. We couldn't find them. Got back down in the Jeep. We drove all over, and finally by radio, he was so far off of where he was supposed to be, and he had completely ruined a little German village town. We planned the maneuvers going through the German towns, only in towns where the streets are wide enough for our tanks, because a lot of their streets are very narrow. Well, this dumb lieutenant had taken his tanks through this town, and it looked like a war had really occurred there. Their sidewalks were completely tore up. I mean, about 25 tanks. The people were in shock, because they had never had that happen. And see, we let the towns know, and we work it out with the mayors and with the people, and we tell them the date and all this kind of stuff. And can you imagine these Germans sleeping or whatever, and all of them, look out, and there's army tanks all around, and the lieutenant couldn't find his way. And when we pulled up, he was standing there. I really felt sorry for the poor guy.
But he was standing, looking at his map like this, and the general, we pull up in the Jeep, and he looks at the general, and he looks back at his map. I felt sorry for the guy. He got a map reading course and a few other courses, even in vocabulary at that point, and about how to read a map. And I appreciated the general's objectivity. There was an old E6, E7 standing beside him, and that's just one of these old leather-neck, leather-faced soldiers. Generally, they don't like first lieutenants. And, boy, the general ripped into him because he should have known better. He was a commander of his own tank, and he should have known better, and he should have told the first lieutenant, and the general just read him the riot act also. Okay, enough on map reading. Now, you have found, if you go back to Nazareth, since you found that, go up just a little bit to about 12:30, reading by the clock, and you'll see Canaan, C-A-N-A, just right below the L of Galilee. Okay, go over now to the northern tip, the 12 o'clock almost, or actually 11:30, of the Sea of Galilee, and you will see Capernaum. You'll see Capernaum right there on the coast of the Sea of Galilee, about 11:30. You'll see the city of Capernaum. Pretend like the very top of the sea is 12, and just come back a very little bit, and you will see the city of Capernaum. Now go the other way to about 12:30 or 1 o'clock, as the clock reads on the Sea of Galilee, and you will find the city, Bethsaida. Very long name. Underline that one. Okay, there's one other one, but we'll save that. Okay, now let's get to work and see if we can come back and put these things together. I want to tell you one other thing by introduction, in case sometimes people know a lot about the life of Christ and the various teachings and the miracles, but you've never maybe really looked at it from the standpoint of a map, which we probably will not do even in class. But I want you to realize that almost all of the public ministry of our Lord is in Galilee. It is not in Judea. Judea actually is just as north of this of the Dead Sea. Jerusalem is in Judea. But in between, from there you got the area of the Samaritans, and then Galilee. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but nearly all of our Lord's ministry was in the main prince. A lot of the main things that happened were happened right up in Galilee, not in Judea, not around Jerusalem. So just kind of gear you of where we're going and movement toward the city of Jerusalem. Okay, let's get to work. One, Jesus Christ's first visit to the city of Jerusalem, of course, was when he was about 12 years old, and he was but a child. He came with his parents to Jerusalem. He came with his parents to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. Now, we're really not sure how this happened, but one way or another, they left without him. And if it wasn't our Savior, we could make some very humorous remarks about it. But one way or another, they got a ways before they realized that their 12-year-old was not in their group. It may have come by some type of caravan and just figured that the Lord was with somebody else and, really think about it. Maybe made a water stop somewhere and they decided, well, we better go back and find him. And they looked, and lo and behold, one way or the other, they left Christ behind. And so, the parents returned. Most of you know this story. But this is the first visit of our Lord to Jerusalem. And the parents returned, and they found their son teaching the scholars in the temple. And you have your regular map showing you where the temple is. So, this 12-year-old boy, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, stayed behind in the temple area and started talking to the scholars, and he was teaching the scholars. His parents came back and rounded him up and took him out from there. And then his parents took him back to Nazareth. They took him back to Nazareth in Galilee. And there will be no more is recorded of our Lord until he is identified as the Messiah by John the Voice. Around 27 A.D. in the Jordan Valley, he will be so declared. And we studied that in the Gospel of John on Sunday morning. All right, so first visit to Jerusalem. The Lord is teaching in the temple at the age of 12. They take him from Jerusalem, and they travel back up, and they settle at Nazareth, and that is where our Lord will grow up. Point two. After being identified as the Messiah, one other point. Remember that Galilee is not under Pontius Pilate's domain. And that'll, when we get to the crucifixion, you'll recall how Pilate is going to send Christ over to Herod Antipas. And there's some things that are going to happen there, and that's why he's going to do it, because he heard that Christ was a Galilean from Nazareth. So his way out, to kind of cop out of the deal, what Pontius Pilate decided to do was, it's not my jurisdiction. This man is of Galilee. I'll send him over to Herod Antipas, who was living in Jerusalem. So all of that will help you put in, but how you identify. So Christ goes back up to Nazareth. All right, now point two. Once Jesus Christ was identified as the Messiah, he went to the mountains in northern Judea and was there tempted by Satan. We can speculate where, but we really do not know where. Somewhere probably north of Jericho. And he was tempted, and by Satan, and we have studied that, and we'll do so again. Now, the third point. After the temptations, our Lord returned to Galilee. Our Lord returned to Galilee. The ministry, the primary ministry of Jesus Christ, will occur in Galilee. Will occur in Galilee under Herod Antipas' domain, meaning Herod Antipas is the ruler of Galilee, and this was where Jesus Christ will conduct most of his ministry. In parentheses, if you please, John the Voice, not the apostle, but John the Voice, continued to teach and identify the Messiah and exhort people to believe in the Messiah. He will be arrested. He will be arrested by Herod Antipas. That's up in Galilee. He will be arrested by Herod Antipas, ruler of Galilee. He will be decapitated. All because Herod Antipas succumbed to the desires of his wife. And we'll be studying all of that in John. All because Herod Antipas succumbed to the desires of his wife. He's one of those weak men ruled by a skirt. And so he will give in to his wife's wishes and desires. Her name is Herodias. Herodias, H-E-R-O-D-I-A-S. And she will demand that John have his head cut off because of John's teaching against her and John's teaching against Herod. So because John heralded out some remarks against Herod and against her, she demands that he be killed. Now, point four. From Nazareth, back to our Lord now, from Nazareth, where he was rejected, by the way, and that's we have that very famous verse among thousands of other famous verses, but a man is rejected in his own country. He is rejected at Nazareth in his home. Jesus Christ traveled to Capernaum. Jesus Christ traveled up toward Capernaum, where he taught in the local temple. Now, where did the temples come from? If you remember, it is speculated by tradition that Ezra was one of the first ones to start building temples or schools or somewhere where people would come in various localities and study the scrolls. But be that as it may, Jesus Christ went up to Capernaum and taught in the local temple there. It isn't part of our study, but I will just add to this. Capernaum was a seacoast town. Capernaum was a town which fluctuated in people. It was therefore a town probably more lenient, if you please, to teachings, new teachings. The people there were, they would come in from all over, and it was really a good city. It wasn't like a religious city like Nazareth, a small city that had its own beliefs, or Jerusalem, a religious city. And so Capernaum is really where the Lord is going to minister and sort of be his headquarters for about a year and a half. In fact, a little bit longer than that, almost 2 years. He'll always kind of come back to Capernaum. And I just want you to get a feel of the city. Sometime we'll have to study, maybe in the life of Christ in this particular study, a series of, at 6 o'clock class, we'll study the city of Capernaum. But that's the ideal, and that's why he went there and was readily received in Capernaum. Also in Capernaum, I just want to get you the idea it wasn't in Jerusalem that so many things happened. It was in Capernaum that he called his first disciples. Simon, Peter, Andrew were called there. Now, they were not from there, but they were called from there. They were actually from Bethsaida, the city that I ask you to look, circle on your map, come on the west, the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And that's where Peter and Simon and Andrew were from. In Capernaum, Christ will also call James and John. Capernaum was a border town of the jurisdiction of Antipas and the ruler of Syria. So here again you have a little bit more flexibility. Herod, Antipas may not want to deal with too many things, and the ruler of Syria, Philip, he doesn't want to deal with too many things. So Capernaum was an ideal city for Christ to go in and teach, and something like we studied with the city of Antioch. The people are hard workers. They work hard. And they come in, they listen maybe to the teaching, and they go back to work. They don't have time for all of the nonsense. They don't have time for all the religious stuff. And therefore, they were the kind of people, they would be working something, listen to Christ teach, and move on their way. They weren't all, didn't have a lot of hang-ups and all that type of thing. Much like the city of Antioch in its profile, and therefore a great city for our Lord to establish. In fact, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, Capernaum was called his city. So a lot of people talk about Jerusalem and these other things, but and a lot of people know about Nazareth, but it was Capernaum that really was first receptive to the teaching of our Lord as far as the city was concerned. All right, now point 5. During the early days of his public ministry, Jesus Christ will make 2 visits to Cana. During these early days, Jesus Christ will make 2 visits to Cana, right at the beginning when he turned the water into wine that we have studied in John. Now, you have Canaan just above Nazareth. Well, not just, it's a little ways up there, but up just almost directly above Nazareth, but up a ways is Cana. On the second visit to Cana, he will heal the son of a Roman official. Also during this time of ministry, our Lord will heal the widow's son at Nain, N-A-I-N. I think I had you circle that, did I not? Yeah, okay. That's where he will heal the widow's son. Luke chapter 7 records that particular event. The point 6. The Galilean ministry will cover about 1 year and 9 months. Will cover about 1 year and 9 months, so the scholars and the people who really get into dividing these things down, they calculate that it was about a year and 9 months. During this period, this year and 9 months, this Galilean ministry, Jesus Christ will visit Jerusalem one time. And all he will do at that visit is will heal the man at the pool. You'll recall how he walked by and healed one man at the pool. This is the pool of Bethesda, B-E-T-H-E-S-D-A. This we'll study in John chapter 5. This we will study in John chapter 5. John's the only one that talks about it. When it actually occurred, we don't know. But apparently it was during the Galilean ministry. He made his way down to Jerusalem. This is all that happened. And on his way back. And so where that fits into the chronology of our Lord is probably well put in this particular time, going by where John puts it in. Continuing point 6, the ministry of our Lord in Galilee was characterized by healing and teaching. And here you'll have to remember the purpose of healing. The purpose of healing was never to alleviate pain. It was to draw attention to him, give him a credit card so that people would listen to his teaching. But obviously it was not to alleviate pain or he would have healed everyone. It was a calling card so that people would say, hey, this guy does things that are miraculous. Let's hear what he has to say. All right, so during the ministry of the Lord in Galilee, it was characterized by healing and teaching. But the more he taught, the greater the opposition. And the opposition continued to grow until it reached a very intense point, which will cause the Lord to move down to Judea. Point 7. In Galilee was the feeding of the 5,000, the discourse of the bread of life, and as I said, many of the other miracles, all of which caused the scribes and Pharisees to come up from Jerusalem to find fault with Christ, stop his teaching, therefore stop the people from following him. He was gathering too big of a crowd. Therefore, they had to put a stop to the following of our Lord, the religious crowd. There is nothing more hostile, more horrible than religious people. All right, point 8. It was on the Sea of Galilee where Jesus Christ slept in the boat crossing the sea, and a storm arose. And he commanded the sea to be calm. It was also along the Sea of Galilee where our Lord ran the demon-possessed swine into the sea. This is where the loaves and the fishes incident took place, around the Sea of Galilee. Christ walking on water. Christ walking on water, and Peter's attempt to follow him occurred on the Sea of Galilee. Another very important person will enter our Lord's life at this time. It is during the ministry around the Sea of Galilee that our Lord will meet Mary Magdalene. She was from a city called Magdala. Magdala is the way it's pronounced, Magdala. And if you look on your map, you will see a variation of that called Magadan. And it is around 9 o'clock on your map at the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee. Come up around the Sea of Galilee and you will see it's written, in fact, out in the name of the sea. It's written out in the sea. And that is where Mary Magdalene is from. And she is going to do a lot of traveling following our Lord and very, very positive to our Lord. All right, point 9. Next came our Lord's travelings to the region. Now, you know, here's one of those things. I don't know. We don't know if he went into these cities, so it's debatable. Nothing really happened in the city, so I'll give you the region. The region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, if you look on your map, all you have to do is look over on the coast. Look over on the coast. In fact, you can see Tyre is up at the very top of your paper. T-Y-R-E. Now, I couldn't find a map that had everything the way I wanted it. A ways up the coast, north of that, is Sidon. So it's above, it's not on your map, but that'll give you an idea of how far the Lord traveled in this particular trip. If you look at Capernaum, and then you go all the way up to Tyre, and then go all the way up to Sidon, and that's where our Lord traveled. Now let me get back to our study of it. Point 9, next came our Lord's travelings to Tyre and Sidon. Here will be the first healing of a Gentile. It will be the first healing of a Gentile. That's very interesting what our Lord then did. Let's see if we can put some things on here and work from them. Here will be the Sea of Galilee coming around like this. Here will be the Sea of Galilee. And we'll make this the Mediterranean coastline. And right here we'll put Tyre, and up here we'll put Sidon. Now, what our Lord will do, and he's way up north here, he's going to travel all the way around like this, come all the way around, and come back down on this side. And not that much happens, but that's the route that our Lord is going to travel in coming back toward Galilee. So, in his return, the Lord will travel, go way north of the Sea of Galilee, come back around from this region, come all the way back around here. Whether there were various people, like the woman at the well that he encountered, we really don't know. But our Lord traveled that long route around, came back around over on this side of Jordan, and got on this side of the Sea of Galilee, and came back down around on this side of the sea itself. 5.10. After this second return to the Galilee area will occur the transfiguration. The transfiguration will take place. The Word of God does not specifically identify the mountain, but tradition connects it with Mount Tabor. So that's right below Nazareth. Just a little bit below, to the right of Nazareth, is Mount Tabor on your map. So that is where they speculate that the transfiguration of our Lord took place. After this, Jesus Christ continued his teaching in Galilee for a short while before heading for Jerusalem and crucifixion. Let me read to you. You can put it down, but let me read to you since you've got so much in your lap. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 17 a moment. Read a verse or two about what's getting ready to happen in the life of our Lord. Now, the transfiguration has just occurred, and our Lord makes his way back up to Capernaum. Therefore, Matthew 17, verse 23 says, if you want to write it down, and you can read the entire event some other time, 17 23. He says in verse 22, and while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said, see, it just says in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised again on the third day. And they were deeply grieved. So the Lord now realizes how close things are, and he starts teaching of his own crucifixion to his disciples and to various ones. All right, this brings us to point 11. In the fall of that year, Jesus Christ, maybe around the fall of 29, in the fall of that year, Jesus Christ makes another visit to Jerusalem. So the first one is as a boy. So I'm going to give you this, and you can put it in parentheses. Okay, first, this number one is accurate, that when he was a boy. Number two, if the event described by John of the cleansing of the temple is not the same event of the cleansing of the temple of the week of the crucifixion, then somewhere our Lord made that visit at the very beginning of his ministry and cleansed the temple. The way, if you take that as a different incident, what happened was Jesus Christ came down to Jerusalem and cleansed the temple. Nobody knew who he was at all. Came out from there, and that is when John identified him. Now, that's the way it is by order in John that we have studied. And some people say it is a different cleansing of the temple than the one recorded way late in the Gospels that deal with the Passover week and the day that the Sunday before the Wednesday that Jesus Christ was crucified. So if you want to put a 2 in there, the second visit, do so with parentheses around it. Now, the third visit then, and I'll just assume that that's one so that we can move on. I'm not going to debate it at this point. The third one was the healing of the paralytic in John chapter 5. That's when he goes down to the pool and will heal. And nothing more is recorded. Nothing more we know about it happened. And now the third and or fourth visit. Third or fourth visit, whichever way you take it. So let's put it down. The fourth visit by our Lord to Jerusalem will be in the fall of the year. It is recorded in John 7 and 8. So we'll be studying this shortly. John 7 and 8. This visit is only recorded by John. As we will study it, Jesus Christ returns secretly to Jerusalem. In this fourth visit, Jesus Christ returns secretly to Jerusalem at the Feast of the Tabernacles. That's in the autumn. He returns to Jerusalem, the Feast of the Tabernacle, in the autumn. Now, he either stayed in the city or in that area, or he went out somewhere to a city nearby. He either stayed in Jerusalem after that, or he went to an unknown place for a while, because in John 10, he is still in Jerusalem for the Feast of Dedication, which occurred in early winter. The Feast of Dedication, early winter, John 10. Now back to what we can calculate. Christ then crossed, now we're in the early winter now. Christ then crossed Jordan and stayed at a city called Bethabara. Bethabara, Bethabara. Crossed over Jordan, just top of Jerusalem, or top of the Dead Sea, and stayed there for a while. Then returned to Bethany. I didn't even think about finding the Bethany for you. But he returns back to Bethany. Returns back over to Bethany, where he will raise Lazarus from the dead. He will raise Lazarus from the dead. Let's see. We can, Bethany, if you look on your map, let me see if it's on this one. Yes, Bethany, just come right outside of Jerusalem toward about 2 o'clock, or actually 3 o'clock. Right in the outskirts of Jerusalem. You'll see it. You'll see Bethany. Has anybody not found it? If this is Jerusalem, on your map. It's like this with a little star. If you see Jerusalem, then you'll see another one, and then you'll see a third one. And that third one is Bethany. Now you got to know where that is, because a lot's going to happen there in the life of our Lord in the last week of his life. So is there anyone who hasn't found Bethany? Don't be ashamed. Let's get it down. Because you've got to know where Bethany is to appreciate all the things that are about to happen. Okay, I assume, therefore, that everyone has found Bethany. Now, at Bethany, he will raise Lazarus from the dead. Actually, resuscitation and not resurrection. And we'll study that in due process of time. John chapter 11. Then he will travel. See, he has to travel a lot now. The hostility is great. Always remember that. Why is the Lord always jumping around? Because the hostility is great. He's kind of like David when David was on the run. People are turning him in. People are reporting. The religious crowd are after him. All right, after this, he will travel up to the wilderness of Ephraim. Let's see if that's on here. If not, I'll show you. Yes, it is. All right, if you'll look on your map, let's see if the best way. Start with Jerusalem. Start with Jerusalem, and let's take the clock up about 2 inches to about 12:30, and you will see Ephraim. Let's see if I can give you some. All right, a good way. If you'll look at it's written Judea. J-U-D-E-A, large letters on your map on the left side there. Look at that D. Come across to the right from the top of that D, and you will find Ephraim. The wilderness of Ephraim. That's where the Lord will travel to this area. Still around Jerusalem. If you can't find the D, look even further to the left, and you'll find Lydda, L-Y-D-D-A. Keep going to the right, you'll find the D. Keep going to the right, you'll find Berzetho, and then you'll find Ephraim. Okay? Well, that's where he had to travel next. Travels up to the area of Ephraim, the wilderness of Ephraim. Now, that's because of hostility. Now, that's recorded in John 10:54. So we'll be noting all of this in the study of John. He had to retreat to this area again due to increased hostility from the religious crowd, especially after raising Lazarus. Lazarus, that really got him in hot water. I mean, you thought the feeding of the 5,000 caused him trouble. Boy, when he starts raising people from the dead and people get a hold of that, the religious crowd have got to stop this man now. The intensity is building. Everything is building now. During this period is the cleansing of the 10 lepers, encounter with the rich young ruler, and one that I used to love as a little boy, the dining with Zacharias. Also, while at Bethany, he comes back to Bethany, he is anointed with oil. He is anointed with oil by Mary. You recall how Judas, boy, this really starts the antagonism of Judas now. Remember, Judas was the self-righteous religious type. Oh, we can use that money, we can sell that oil and use the money to feed the poor. And that's when the Lord gave his poverty dissertation. At Bethany, he stayed at the house of Mary and Martha. You remember those two women? One of them wanted to fix a nice dinner for the Lord, and the other woman just wanted to stay, and Mary just wanted to sit there and listen to the Lord teach. That's all that she was concerned about. And O.S.R. Martha gets all excited. She's in there doing all the work and slaving over the hot stove, and she wants the Lord to jump on Mary. And the Lord brought things back into their point of reality. It isn't that eating isn't important. But when the Lord's there to teach, you don't want to waste time fooling around when you can be listening to Christ teach. So Jesus Christ will give the dissertation there. All right. Now, Jesus Christ returns to Jerusalem for the last time. On Friday night, Jesus Christ will have a supper, his last supper at Bethany, not the last supper, But when I say his Last Supper with friends, not in the Passover sense. This will be at Mary and Martha's house. He will have the supper at Bethany. And that will be on Friday night. We're going to learn so much about the Lord Jesus Christ in our study on John. What kind of man he was. He had his personal friends. They were positive to doctrine. They were positive to him. They loved the Word. He will have his own close associates and the disciples. There are a lot of things we're going to learn about the Lord and things that characterize our Lord. Now, so on Friday night, he now has the supper at Bethany at Mary and Martha's house on Friday night. Now we come to the next major segment of study. Jesus Christ returns to Jerusalem for the last time. Point one. Now here's where I either stop or go on, I guess. Let's hit a few things. Let's get going. All right, one. Jesus Christ began his last entry into Jerusalem with what is ironically called the triumphal entry. Riding on an ass that was tied to a tree. This is Saturday before the crucifixion, which will occur on Wednesday. Now, let's see here if we can work now with our maps a little bit. The way that he would have traveled into this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The way he would have traveled coming from where he came from, he would have entered through the gate. There's a gate right up in this area. He would have come down through here, entered into this area, walked through these streets, came around like this, on into the temple, and this is how he would have marched, and we're going to follow. He will march out this gate and straight on out. Now, that apparently is the route of our Lord at for this entry. Let's see if, yes, we got it. All right, that's how he would have come into the city. Now, that is Saturday morning. He comes into the city riding on the ass. This is where the people throw down the palms and they forget some scripture. They quote some scripture and forget some scripture, and therefore they are inaccurate in the way they put scripture together. Point two, and that's about it for Saturday. Goes back to Bethany, apparently. On Sunday, Jesus Christ came back into the city, and this is where we have the cleansing of the temple. The cleansing of the temple occurred on Sunday. Also, the cursing of the fig tree on his way out of the city. The cursing of the fig tree. Fig tree is a picture of religious Israel. Apparently, as he came out and started going up, over here is the Mount of Olives, and as he started going over in this direction, there was a fig tree. And so we have the cursing of the fig tree. Point three, on Monday, Jesus Christ came into the temple area once more, this time to teach. Yesterday, he used his muscles against the religious crowd. Today, he uses his voice. Also, on Monday, he delivers the great speech to the religious crowd with the indictments, the eight woes against religion. Also on this day, Jesus Christ will cross the Jehoshaphat Valley and give the Olivet Discourse. Also on this day, Jesus Christ will cross the Jehoshaphat Valley and give the Olivet Discourse, which is a prophetic discourse, Matthew chapter 24 and 25. I can tell you right now, you can get ready for it. Whenever we get to all of these things putting together around John 10, all of the classes are going to be this. They're going to run, all five classes are going to deal with the crucifixion of our Lord. And we're going to study and put them all together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we're going to study it in great detail. I'm not going to just study that on John on Sunday morning. So for a brief period, we're going to have one class taught all the way through. It is just going to be too dramatic and too intense. And we do not deal with emotion, but there is something wonderful about studying the Word of God. And I just am going to have, well, we're going to study these last 10 days of Jesus Christ's life. We're going to study them all in order, and we're going to study them in all session. We're not going to have any other classes. Now, I don't know when that'll be. I'll try to work it out where all of the other things are at a chapter break, like Isaiah, and be a good place. And it may take a while, but I'm just not going to study the last 10 days with on Sunday morning. It would be take too long, and we'd break it too much. All right. Also on this day, Jesus Christ crosses the Jehoshaphat Valley and gives the Olivet Discourse, which is a prophetic discourse. All right, point four. Tuesday. Aha. Tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, he will be crucified. Tuesday, day of preparation for the Passover. Tuesday is the day, the Jewish day of preparation for the Passover. It's a two-edged sword. Part of the religious crowd are preparing the literal lamb for sacrifice, the animal lamb for sacrifice. Another part of the religious crowd are preparing for the killing of Jesus Christ on this day. So it is indeed the preparation day for the Passover. What happened Tuesday? On Tuesday, first of all, we have the conspiracy of Judas. We have the conspiracy of Judas. John 11, verse 47 through 57. Luke 22, verses 1 through 6. The religious crowd met to decide what to do with Jesus Christ. Tradition has it that they met at the house of Caiaphas. All right, you have that on, well, let's see. We have another map that has this on it. I hope I brought the one that has the house of Caiaphas on it. Yes, I do, right here. Okay, here is where the house of Caiaphas is. I want you to note how everything's going to work together on this map. Here is the house of Caiaphas right there. But look what's right close near it, the Last Supper. What did Judas do? Now, he's already met with them once. They meet him. But Judas will leave this house. Remember, he doesn't stay for the entire supper Tuesday night. He will leave this house, walk that close, and betray Jesus Christ. So this is where these things are taking place, in this area by tradition. All right. So let's get to work now. Point four, Tuesday, day of preparation. First, the conspiracy of Judas. The religious crowd met to decide what to do. The religious leaders met to decide what to do with Jesus Christ. They apparently met at the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, who announced that Jesus Christ must die. It was Caiaphas who first announced, look, we put up with it enough. Jesus Christ must die. And they were meeting in this house, the house of Caiaphas. Now, secondly, on this Tuesday, also the preparation for the Passover celebration by Jesus Christ for his disciples. Now, we studied that. Remember, Christ tells John to go to the well. There'll be a man at the well. He's to follow the servant of the man home. He talks to the man at the house. The man at the house will show you the room and all the things that we studied. What a wonderful, unidentified, unnamed man in the life of Christ. We don't know what his name is, but as we've noted several times, we studied many things about this man. He has great hospitality. He has a wonderful mental attitude. He says, you can use my house, Lord, but you don't have to invite me. I've got the upper room furnished. He's a very wealthy man, and he furnished it very well, and he gave the Lord total privacy. What a phenomenal individual. He's one of those unsung heroes that I certainly want to meet in eternity future, is to meet the man where our Lord felt that he could go into that house on the last night of being on this earth and enjoy the Passover supper. What a phenomenal man he must have been. and his name is not even in Scripture. He's probably just one of those friends of our Lord that is on a personal basis. All right, so we have secondly, under point four, point four is dealing with Tuesday. So the second thing that happened on Tuesday is the preparation for the Passover celebration by Christ for his disciples and how he put everything together. Third, the sub-point three under this Tuesday, the Last Supper and the events of the upper room. The Last Supper and the events of the upper room. For an example, the washing of the disciples' feet by our Lord and all of the things that happened there with dumb Peter. Judas' betrayal. Remember, he leaves before they celebrate. He will leave, and he goes over and sells out our Lord for the well-known 30 pieces of silver. And then the upper room discourse. The upper room discourse and the first communion all occur at this time. Now, coming back to our major numbering, point five, Tuesday evening. We're still in Tuesday, but point five takes up Tuesday evening and early Wednesday morning. One, after leaving the house of the Last Supper, Jesus Christ made his way through the streets of Jerusalem to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will pray before the final events of his life take place. So, by the way, tradition says that our Lord left this house, went down through here, went through the dung gate, came around up this way to the Garden of Gethsemane, which would stand to reason if he walks through the city, he's in danger. So he came back down through the lower way here to the gate right here, came back down, went through the dung gate, came back around on this side of the old city, marched up along the valley path up until he got out to the garden. He took some of his close friends. They left the supper. Some of the disciples that were close to him went there. And then you know the story how even the two closer friends went up to the higher level with our Lord. Point two, upon leaving the garden, Jesus Christ and his friends, his disciples, I prefer at this time to call them his friends, are met by Judas and the religious temple guard. Jesus Christ is betrayed by a kiss and arrested. Jesus Christ is betrayed by a kiss and arrested. That happens at the base of Gethsemane. Now we'll stop here, and we will start next Sunday evening with all the places that Christ was hauled around before he gets over to the Mountain of the Skull. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, from the study of our Savior, we begin to fully understand and clearly understand the hostility of the religious crowd. How, Heavenly Father, they have always, characteristically, historically, been hostile to the reflected glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, Heavenly Father, time has not changed. Religion is still hostile to the proclamation of the gospel, to the teaching of grace. In these things we are commanded to understand, exhorted to understand, that we may garrison our souls and our lives with Bible doctrine, that we may correctly interpret and understand the events of history. Father, once again, it is a privilege to study this ancient city, to understand all of the events that occurred, and constantly being reminded in our souls that one day the city will be the King's headquarters of the Lord Jesus Christ, from which he will rule for the 1,000 years of the millennium. To this end, then, Heavenly Father, we give you all praise and honor. In Christ's name, amen.